Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking majestic Buckhead, where the day is dark, dreary, rainy, ominous, and lugubrious. Kind of like the way people are feeling a lot of times when it comes to Valentine's or Christmas or New Year's or Thanksgiving or sometimes even Easter's. The days when people in our society feel the most alone. Those things can be tough. I don't know that Stacy will even be calling today because I have her proofing a book that I have just finished writing with Robert McGee, who wrote The Search for Significance, which Thomas Nelson published and sold 3 million. This is the name of the book that we have just completed, is The Search for Reality. And it's very liberating indeed. And, of course, that's what I'm all about, trying to help people figure out what it is that keeps them from being everything that God created them to be. Now, if you want to call, I've got plenty to talk about, but if you want to call, the number is 347-326-9949. Now, as I do so often on the program, I want to start today off by reading a prayer that I wrote. And this is something that I wrote actually quite a while ago, but pretty appropriate given the time of the year and with Valentine's coming up. It's called A Prayer Pleading for Restoration. Father, sometimes life is so hard. Doing the right thing seems easy enough until it comes time to do it. When dread of the consequences becomes an overwhelming concern. Why can't life be easier? Why am I so special that my life is constantly filled with difficulties? Why can't things go easily just for a while? Why me, Lord? Why me? I don't want to sound like I'm whining, but I know that I am. I'm complaining because my shoes are too tight while others have no legs. I know I should be more grateful, but I need a respite from my pain, from my despair, and from my sorrow. There is no one who can help but you. But be warmed and be filled, proud, smile and offer meaningless platitudes as I nurse the emotional wounds I fear will destroy me. I want to serve you with gladness, but there's no joy in me. Nothing that could sustain me more than for a few moments at a time. I don't want to be a plastic automaton, pretending that everything is okay when I know that things are dreadfully wrong. My future is in your hand. My days, which are numbered by you, are passing before me, and it all seems like a terrible waste. Intervene, Lord. Allow me to know joy and gladness once again. Fill my days with peace and prosperity so that I can tell others of your faithfulness. wrote that prayer, it was a couple of years ago, and I remember there just were so many things that were so hard, so difficult, and I just couldn't seem to get past them. But I did know to reach out to God for the answer. Blaming Him for my situation, I knew was counterproductive. I knew that my life had become shipwrecked by my own hand. I was responsible for it. And blaming others wasn't going to get things fixed. So I needed to be honest, completely honest about exactly how I felt. Sometimes we make the mistake of just coming to God and trying to pretend like we're somebody that we're not, as if the creator of the universe can't see through our little veiled foolishness. And the scriptures say that the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and can discern the difference between soul and spirit, bone and marrow, that is deep penetrating truth. That we have those kind of problems, that we know these kinds of things, is really tough. I can remember not wanting to be honest enough to tell God that I was whining, when that was exactly what I was doing. And I had to come to the realization that most of the time when I prayed, it wasn't really prayers. It was me demanding that God do things my way, which just by the way, He never does. That just doesn't work. I was talking to this woman a year ago, and she was really a pretty lady and smart, and she was all alone in life, all alone. And she said, well, as we began to talk, she just opened up, and she said, well, I really I'm all alone because I have this, I'm in love with my former boss. And he's in love with me. Nothing's ever happened because he's married. But I'm coming before the Lord to see what God has for the two of us together. And I said to her, you don't have anything for the two of you together. What part of not coveting another woman's husband don't you understand? I wasn't quite that blunt. And I wasn't quite that sharp in the way I said it. But it came across like that, and she bolted. I mean, she just said, well, I gotta go. And she did. And we live in the same apartment building. And it was a year before she would even speak to me at all. When she would see me coming, she would literally turn the other direction. Now, I didn't take that personally because I knew that it didn't have anything to do with me. I just told her something that she really knew to be true, and she didn't want to deal with it. She preferred to live in denial and in the veiled dreamland that she wanted to be her reality. Life isn't like that. Valentine's Day is this week, and there are lots of people that are so brokenhearted that they don't want Valentine's Day to even be here because they don't want anybody to know that they don't have somebody. That's a tough place to be. Nobody wants to live like that, really. But in America, and in this time, a lot of people do. And as we drift further and further away from the values that made this nation great, from the core values given to us by our forefathers, there's going to be more dysfunction than ever. You can legislate things and make them legal, but you can't make something that's wrong right. And that's what we're trying to do in America. Doesn't work. And you know what happens? The system spits out people right and left. Alcoholism increases. Promiscuity increases. Drug addiction increases. Overdosing or taking prescription medication will skyrocket. If you want to make some money, invest in whoever puts out Xanax and stuff like that, because people cannot deal with life on life's terms, particularly when our entire nation is just kind of headed the wrong direction. Dysfunction is on the increase. And we're already about as dysfunctional as we can get. I'm going to read you a blog entry that I just put together today that I put up on my blog site, Pushing Jesus. But if you want to call and talk about this also, the number is 347-326-9949. Now, as the dysfunction increases, people are going to act out more and more and more. As the wealth of this country dissipate and there is less, people are going to cheat more, they're going to steal more, they're going to lie more. The days ahead are not going to be good. Although, there are people that get on the TV every night and say that we're doing just fine. It isn't true. You know it isn't true. Your life is an indication that it isn't true. Few people, sure. But not many. And the nagging things inside you that make things so difficult because people are legislating to make wrong right and right wrong. What's legal differs dramatically in many instances from what's right. Didn't used to be that way. In America, our fundamental, inalienable rights are at risk. When you say inalienable, what does that mean? It means they cannot be taken away by anybody because they are bestowed upon us by our Creator, not by government, not by the will of the majority, but by God. That's fundamental to what makes America, America. There are people that want to undermine that and take it away. That's going to cause all kinds of dysfunction. We have people storing guns. Did you ever think anything like that would happen in America? I certainly did. But I can tell you this. It's going to drive people to drink. It's going to drive them to pornography. It's going to drive them to drugs, to prescriptions, to anything that they can do to medicate the pain and make it go away just for a while. Now, in all of this, to recover, to be who you're supposed to be, one of the things that you need to know is that God loves you just the way you are. He doesn't insist that you be somebody different than you are before He loves you. He loves you just the way you are. Now, in recovery, my recovering from religious abuse, which has the 11 steps, step number 4, which is what this blog is based on, says, I choose to believe what God says about Himself, that He is good and can be trusted. I recognize that God is not the abuser, rather people who misuse their authority are the abusers. As I was writing this, there's this little quote that I thought of that I included that I think is quite good by Kathy Kollwitz. It says, I do not want to die, not until I have faithfully made the most of my talent and cultivated the seed that was placed in me until the last small twig has grown. She wanted to be who she was created to be. And she was determined that everything would come to fruition. That is a great goal to have. A lot of people are so wounded because they've been abused so badly. And those are the people that I want to reach out to and talk to right now. For most people, after being subjected to a pattern of verbal and emotional abuse, and sometimes physical, sexual, or financial abuse as well, life never really returns to health and normalcy. It just doesn't. Deep emotional scars cripple the abused person to the point that his or her life never regains the richness, the fullness, or the contentment that it once exhibited. They know that they're not the person that they once were, and that is a really hard thing to deal with. But it doesn't have to be this way. And this outcome of never being the same person again is definitely not God's will for your life. To make the transformation from being devastated to being who you're supposed to be, to having that last twig grow, you need to know that God loves you exactly the way you are. In your brokenness, in your despair, and in your uncertainty. I'm sure you're afraid, but He has not given you a spirit of fear. that comes from your abuser and not from God. He's given you a spirit of love, power, and of a disciplined, sound mind. Probably feel a little crazy. When these things happen, feeling and seeming a little crazy, kind of natural reactions to things at times, but it doesn't have to be that way, and you can get back on the right track. Just below the surface of your troubled heart, God is waiting to help you, to work with you, to appropriate the inner strength that rightfully belongs to you, just as it does to all of God's children. It's not easy regaining your composure after experiencing deep wounds from being abused. It isn't easy at all. It's hard. But if you want to heal, if you want to be the person that you once were, or better, which is what really should happen, you've got to go to God for the answer. You can end up being a much better person as a result, because God is in business of healing broken hearts, of healing broken spirits, of healing emotions, of helping you understand your past so that you don't have to replicate the same mistakes over and over and over again. This time of year, they always play that Groundhog movie. I think it's the most philosophical movie of all time, because it's true. If you don't learn your lesson, you're going to have to repeat it over and over and over again. Isn't that what the definition of insanity is? Somebody who does the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result? You got to stop that. It doesn't work. After recovering from the abusiveness, joy will return to you, but in a different, more meaningful way, because it will be tempered with humility, wisdom, and discernment. Once you've been exposed to abusive people, you can take a look at them and another person and say, ooh, yeah, I see that. No way I'm getting myself involved in that again and wasting another 10 years of my life. You can recover from your abusive situation, and it's not an idealistic thing to think that you can. It can be your experience if you allow God to be the one to restore you. If you think you can do it on your own, just, you know, that's fine. Go ahead. I remember when I was in counseling, and, you know, there was the counselor, you know, nothing was ever wrong. And I told her one time, I said, you know, I think if Jeffrey Dahmer were your client, you'd say, that's all right, Jeffrey. You were just a little hungry. You remember he was the guy that was like Hannibal Lecter the cannibal. Life isn't like that. Things are right and things are wrong. In our society, we're going in the wrong direction. We've been going in the wrong direction for quite a while. And it's taken its toll. People are in deep trouble. They don't know how to get out of it. They don't know how to get on the right track, but the way to begin is to realize that they are shipwrecked, that it's there as a result of their own actions, and nobody's going to rescue them. They've got to do the work themselves. You've got to do the work yourself, and you've got to go to God to do it, because he's the only one that can change you. Nothing else works. Not long term. I'm not guessing about this stuff. God's healing can restore you. I've seen it happen repeatedly. But the choice is yours. You can go through life crippled by your debilitating, abusive experience, or you can allow God to use it so that you can become everything you were ever supposed to be. And I'm going to repeat that little quotation that I started out with, because this is what, you know, Kathy Holowitz wanted. I do not want to die, not until I have faithfully made the most of my talent and cultivated the seed that was placed in me until the last small twig has grown. This can be your experience. This is what it should be. This is what recovery is all about. Recovery from whatever is the demon that has you. The vice that you have chosen to make you feel better. For me, it was alcohol. I could take a mental health holiday and just get wasted, and all my problems went away just for a few hours. And I loved it. It was relaxing. Then, the next day, you wake up a little hungover and sometimes did things that you wish you hadn't, and the problems are still there. And then ultimately, you can't go without it. That's when you've got a problem. That's when you're lower than you thought you would ever be in your life. That's when those are the times. And if they're now for you, whatever it is, you need to get some help. Be accountable to somebody. You go to God and say, your life's shipwrecked and you need his help. Not your own, but his, to make you who you're supposed to be. Because this whole self-reliant thing doesn't work. We like to think that we can do anything. If you go to the movies and, you know, some young, pretty girl that, you know, can kickbox a bunch of things and, you know, and some handsome guy, you know, fight spirits and overcome them because they're, you know, they're special. Well, that just isn't the way life is. We're frail. And our emotions are even more frail. But we can have them strengthened and empowered by bringing our issues to Almighty God. That works. Nothing else will work like it. With that, let me just say, I do hope that you have a nice Valentine's Day. And God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.